We really want to look at the miracle taken up in verses 1 to 7 in 2 Kings chapter 6, but want to really concentrate on verses 5 and 6 today. And we'll just read them again to you, verses 5 and 6. We read, "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' The man of God said, 'Where fell it?' And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim." A young, strong, strapping man was hired by a logging firm. He was extremely strong, and he started cutting trees for them. And when he began his employment, he and his chainsaw worked as one. Because he was strong, and because he had started off with a new chainsaw, well, this young man, he was the best employee that this logging firm had when he first started work. They placed him alongside an old man who had worked in the firm for many years. But this young man, well, he started off at a frightening pace. But he noticed that the old man, well, three or four times a day, he would stop and he would rest and he would sharpen his chainsaw. He would adjust the chainsaw if needs be. And the young man, he took notice of this, but he kept cutting on and he kept on at full steam. He didn't take any breaks during the day. But a couple of days later, the young man, his capacity had decreased greatly. And it actually had decreased so much that by the end of the week, he was actually in danger of getting the sack, of losing his job altogether. He came to the older man, and this man was able to stop and rest, and by this stage, at the end of the week, was cutting much more wood than him. He approached the older man, and he said, "I just don't understand. I've outworked you. You have rested more. I've continued cutting. I am stronger than you, I am younger than you, yet you have outproduced me greatly this week. How can this be?" The old man looked at the young man and he said this to him. He said, "I learned a principle from the Bible many, many years ago, and I apply it to my everyday living and even to my job that I'm doing today. The Bible is found in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10, or the principle rather. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct." He said, "When I was resting myself physically, but I was also sharpening my chainsaw and adjusting my chainsaw." And he explained that because the young man never stopped to sharpen the edge, to sharpen his saw, the greater his labor, and actually the less he was able to accomplish. And the problem of losing our cutting edge, I want to suggest to you this morning, is one of the great problems that plagues modern day Christianity. The difficulty of Christians losing their cutting edge, it is prevalent. It permeates throughout the attitude and the sentiments of the Western church today. Could we not lament that we have lost our sharpness, that we have lost our cutting edge, that we have lost our vibrancy, our vitality as Christians today? But this is exactly what happened in 2 Kings and the chapter 6. The sons of the prophets, or the students as we have called them, they were studying to be the next generation of prophets. And, well, they trained in facilities. We don't really know what they had in terms of facilities, but we do know in terms of meeting that they had some form of facility. There were facilities in Bethel, in Jericho, and also in Gilgal. And Elisha, the prophet, he had some form of teaching capacity, teaching these young students at these colleges. And by this stage, Elisha's fame was spreading abroad. His miracles, his influence, it was growing steadily by the day. And as a result, well, these colleges, their numbers, they were swelling by the month. In actual fact, there was such a steady influx of students that the college, particularly at Gilgal, became too small to cope with the interest. Verse 1, there is the lament. It is too straight for us. In other words, it's too small for us. The amount of students had outgrown the facilities there in Gilgal. Eventually, the suggestion is made that a new college or a new facility be erected. And so for a little time, these students, they put down their books and they substituted them for axes and for implements, and they actually then got to work and they came near the River Jordan and began to fell wood for this new facility. But tragically, one young man, as he was busily engaged in this service and as he was chopping away and felling wood, something happened. His axe head, it had gradually become loose and looser, and then it eventually fell off and it fell into the River Jordan. You see, the axe had now lost its cutting edge. And with busyness as a Christian, from that there can then come a bluntness as a Christian. We can lose our sharpness and our vibrancy. I wonder, like this young man this morning, have you been busy? And perhaps you've been busy serving. Perhaps you've been busy in the Master's service. And like this young man, you've been swinging. Like this young man, you've been serving. Like this young man, you have been busy. But as a result, you've lost sight. Lost sight that the axe head, it's actually loosening, or perhaps it's even fallen off altogether. Perhaps even like this young man, as he had to stop service and then go and have his axe, the head placed upon the axe again. Perhaps you have even ceased service for Christ altogether. Why? All because you fail to realize that the axe head has been losing its sharpness. That your axe, it has been loosening gradually. This is a great danger, child of God. And we're all in danger of falling into this trap. This trap of losing sight of the one whom we really serve. The one whom the fact who has saved us, and because of that, we then serve him out of love for him. Out of devotion to him, and not simply out of a mere sense of duty. Child of God, we can all be there. We can at times lose sight, we can lose that saltiness, we can lose that sharpness as believers. And this is what happened to this young man. I suggest to you, he was actually one of the busiest young men as he started off. But he had to stop service and tighten the axe head, get the axe head and place it on his axe again. And so this morning we want to think of the subject, losing the cutting edge. Losing the cutting edge. I want you to think firstly with me about the reasons for the loss. Reasons for the loss, or the reasons for losing the cutting edge. Verse 5 we read, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. This young man did not lose his axe head through idleness. I think that's very apparent. He did not simply set down his axe and go off and do something else. And then because of that, he lost his axe completely. No, this young man, he lost the axe head actually through activity and busyness. He was perhaps one of the busiest of the workers. The reason I say that is because whenever he took a swing at this wood or whatever he was chopping, the axe head, it fell off, but it actually flew into the river. It flew into the river. So he had to have been swinging this axe head at some great force. If it perhaps had just fallen at his feet, well then he wouldn't logically have been swinging it very hard. So he was working extremely hard. But whilst he was busy, there was one flaw in his activity. Whilst he was working, he was not keeping a close eye on his tools. And he didn't realize something. He didn't realize that the axe head that was joined to the top of this stick of wood or whatever it must have been, he didn't realize that it was gradually getting looser. Every time that he swung his axe head, this axe head, it was getting looser. And he failed to realize that. He was so busy taking up with what he was chopping. And so he failed to check the head and tighten this head, and eventually this head, it fell off and indeed flew off altogether. And as a Christian, it is possible to be diligent in work for Christ, yet negligent in your walk with Christ. To fail to notice that the axe head is getting loose. Wonder perhaps, has that been you this morning, child of God? So busy, even perhaps diligent in the service of God, serving and waiting and working, and yet you failed to just take that time and ensure that the axe head of your spiritual walk and your spiritual vibrancy is as tight as it can possibly be. Hebrews 2 talks about letting things slip. And the thought there is of a gradual slip. And often, child of God, that's what happens. Things, they slip gradually. They loosen, spiritually speaking, gradually. It never really happens at once. It always happens gradually. And a failure to check yourself because of busyness, either in the work of God or even busyness in terms of life. The cares of this world, the cares of this life, as the Gospels tells us, it can choke the Word of God. And yes, you can apply that to the Gospel, but you can also apply that to us as believers. The cares of this life, it can set in and it can choke the Word of God from having a true impact upon our lives. Has that been your lot this morning? You've been too busy. Just plain and simple, you've been too busy. Too busy to take that time in personal fellowship with Jesus Christ. And as a result, perhaps the axe head, it has either loosened or it's fallen off altogether. This was the danger of Martha. You remember in Luke 10, we read in verse 40 that as Christ was in her house in Bethany with Mary, that Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him, that's Christ, and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." The phrase cumbered about in the original text, it has the idea of being pulled about in every direction. And you know the scene here. Here's a busy lady in the kitchen, and she's pulled about in every direction. And so she comes to Jesus Christ, and she sees her sister Mary, and what is Mary doing? She's just simply sitting there at the feet of Christ, listening to all that he has to say, drinking in his every word. And here's Martha. Oh, she was busy. She was pulled about in every direction. Yet who was commended by Christ? Mary, she hath chosen the good part, the better part. She sat at the feet of Christ, and Christ, he commended her for simply waiting before him. He didn't commend the one who was working. He commended the one who was waiting at his feet. Again, was this not the fault of the church at Ephesus? We looked at this in our studies in the seven churches in Revelation. And Christ, he commended them for their labor. He said in Revelation 2 verse 2, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience." They had labored, and they had labored for quite some time. Yet he had to say in that epistle to them, "Nevertheless, they have left their first love." You see, in the Christian life, it is walk and worship first, then work second, not the other way around. So often, it's the other way around for the believer. Perhaps it's even the other way around for you. You work first, and then there's the walk and the worship second. Just if you can squeeze it in. Or just perhaps a 5 or 10 minute time. Child of God, the order is worship always comes before work. It always comes before work. Because if the order is reversed, the divine order, if it is reversed, then we lose our sharpness. Then, like this axe head, there's the gradual loosening. There is the, perhaps even the potential for the axe head to fall off altogether in your Christian life. There was a time management expert giving a lecture at a university, and he was addressing quite a large number of young students. And he had a large gallon container, and he put in this gallon container, as he was speaking, a large number of rocks. He stopped then and he asked the students the question, well, is this container full? And they all said yes. He said, you're sure you can't get anything more into it? And they said yes. So then he lifted out underneath his desk a big bucket of gravel. And he threw the gravel into the large container with the rocks in it. And again he asked the question, is this container full now? Are you sure that I can't get anything else into this container? And they said, yes, yes, we're sure. So he lifted up a bucket of sand. And he put the sand into the container with the rocks and the gravel as well. And again he said, are you sure now you can't put anything else into this container? They thought for a moment this time. And then sure enough, one person got up and they said, yes, we're sure you can't get anything else in. So he lifted a bucket of water. And he threw the bucket of water into the container. He then asked again, are you sure? They said, yes, we're sure this time. He said, you're right. He then asked them the question, what is the lesson from this? And a young man put his hand up and said, no matter how full your schedule is, if you're efficient and you try really hard, then you can squeeze an awful lot more into it if you're thoughtful. Another young man piped up and he said, that's not the lesson. The lesson or the point is this, that if you don't put the rocks in first, then you'll never get them in. I think we can apply that spiritually, can we not? If we never put time in first with the rock Jesus Christ, the chances are we'll never put the time in at all. Martin Luther said, the man that runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. The man who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. Child of God, the loosening of the axe head, it's a gradual thing. It never really happens overnight. It's always a gradual thing. There's always that gradual declension. And then we lose our cutting edge. Here was the reason for the loss. I want you to see secondly then the result of the loss. Verse 5 we read, but as one was felling a bean, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. We have already noticed that this loosening of the axe head, it was a gradual loosening. But the young man, he failed to notice it becoming looser. He was too busy felling trees and he did not notice it. But whilst he did not notice this gradual loosening of the axe head, yet the results, they were dramatic, were they not? Because the axe head, after a while, it just flew off the handle and it flew into the water. And the result was this, that the tool that he was using, it had lost its sharpness. Oh, he could have taken this stick of wood and he could have tried to chop a tree or whatever it was with this stick of wood. But of course, that was not going to work. And perhaps even more dramatic, there was an axe head that had flown off the handle and it actually flew into the water. So this loss, it actually led to him being completely unable to perform the work, or if he at least tried to do the work, well, he was really rendered ineffective in doing that work. And declension in your walk will lead to a declension in your work, and perhaps even eventually a complete desertion of work altogether. The results are always catastrophic. Child of God, remember this. When the axe head begins to loosen, and it's maybe perhaps just a gradual thing, and maybe it doesn't even seem that big a thing, just creeps in, the results are always catastrophic. Because you can try and serve the Lord eventually, whenever the axe head has become loose, or perhaps even fallen off altogether. And maybe like this stick, you can try and serve and you can try and swing, but you'll lose your effectiveness. You'll lose your vibrancy. You'll lose that sense of sharpness, shall we say, that every child of God ought to have whenever they're serving Jesus Christ. I wonder if you felt that in your life today. You felt that loss of sharpness. You felt that loss, or you felt perhaps a loss of power, or maybe perhaps it's even been more catastrophic than that. Maybe perhaps the axe head has fallen off altogether. And there's been some thing that has happened and it's discouraged you greatly. And perhaps you've even, like this man, you've had to desert the work altogether. Maybe there's been an incident. Maybe there's been some form of flying off the handle or something. But it's been catastrophic. It's been dramatic. And its result has been that you have left the work altogether. You have deserted the work of God. This is actually what happened with a man named Demas. In the book of Philemon, Paul, writing to that individual there from Colossae, Demas is described as a fellow laborer, of Paul. However, in 2 Timothy 4 verse 10 we read, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Demas was a previous fellow laborer of the apostle Paul. Can you imagine that? Imagine what it must have been to have been a fellow laborer with none other than the apostle Paul himself. And yet it just goes to show you, doesn't it? That you can work with the greatest of personality in the work of God, or the most preeminent of person in the work of God. Yet if you fail to take time, spiritually, before the Lord, it doesn't really matter who you're working with at the end of the day. You'll leave the work. You'll desert the work. Because you'll lose heart, or you'll lose the power that is required to fulfill that work. Why was it that Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present evil world? He loved the world. A love for the world set in, and a love for Christ gradually declined. Again, you think of Samson. My, what a man he is when he first appears on the pages of Scripture. In Judges chapter 13, we see the Spirit of God come upon him, and he's performing wonderful things through the power of God. And yet just a few chapters later, in chapter 16 of Judges, there after divulging his secret of his strength to Delilah, we read that she said in verse 20, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not the Lord had departed from him. There was a loss of power because of a gradual declension in his walk. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10, "If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct." A loss of spirituality may be harmless, but the reality is that it is extremely harmful. It will be detrimental, even catastrophic, to your Christian experience. Oh, I caution you this morning. There is this sentiment that it doesn't really matter. You just miss a day here or there. You just miss a meeting here or there. But then it becomes 2 days with the Lord. And then it becomes 10 days and 20 days. Or you miss one meeting. Then it's 2 meetings. Then it's 10 meetings. Before you know it, the axe head has fallen off. And you've deserted perhaps the work of God altogether. Oh, the results of not spending time, adequate time with Jesus Christ, they're catastrophic. They're catastrophic. There is the reason for the loss and the result of the loss. I want you to see thirdly here the remedy for the loss. Verse 6, we read, "The man of God said, where fell it? He showed him the place. He cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim." This axe head, it was borrowed. Verse 5, after losing the axe head, or the axe rather, we find that the man, he came to Elisha, and he throws up his hands and he says, "Alas, for it was borrowed." You see, this young man knew something. He knew that one day he was going to have to return to the owner of this axe, and he was going to have to give an account for his stewardship, how he used the axe, and of course the axe head as well. He was going to have to give an account of how he actually used this axe. Now, it's a practical setting, but nonetheless, the question is going to be, how did you get on? Was all the wood chopped? Is the college up and running? He was going to have to give an account of how he used this axe. And so, conscious of this, he comes to Elisha, and conscious as well that there is still much work that needs to be done, he comes to Elisha and he asks simply for help. He claims that the axe head, it was borrowed. And so in order to try and recover from all this, Elisha comes to this man and he asks him a very simple question. Very simple question. It's an everyday question that you would ask if you had lost something. Where fell it? Where fell it? It's as simple as that. In other words, whenever the axe head flew off your handle and into the water, roughly whereabouts did it fall? Whereabouts in the river did it fall? That's a very, very practical question. You see, the remedy for discovering the axe head, where it was simply to discern where it was lost and then set about the means of finding it and recovering it. And with Christ, the place of recovery is always to be found at the place of departure. It is found where you left off. That's the way it is with the Lord. There has been something perhaps that has held you back in your usefulness to the Lord. And as a result, you've either lost the power, the axe head is extremely loose, or perhaps the axe head has flown off altogether. You've left the work of God. But I suggest to you that there was something that happened. Either a personal discouragement, a personal difficulty, something, perhaps a spiritual difficulty, maybe it perhaps has been perhaps the leaving of personal devotional time with Jesus Christ, a neglect of spiritual duty, Bible reading, prayer, devotion, whatever the problem has been, then you need to go back to that place. Maybe perhaps it has been that you've gone through a difficulty and you failed to get over that difficulty and it's still there and it's a burden. And it's still blocking you and it's blocking your vision of Jesus Christ. We need to go back. Go back to where the difficulty started. And deal with that difficulty. And deal with that personal problem. And deal with whatever the shape or form that problem might be. If it is devotional, that's fine. But that's sometimes not always the reason as to why people, they desert the work of God, or perhaps there is a loss of spiritual vibrancy. But whatever the problem is, you need to come to it and confront it. Confront it and deal with it by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, when Christ's parents lost him as a 12-year-old lad, where did they find him? Well, after going some day's journey and discovering that he was lost, where did they find him? The very place where they lost him. They went back to the temple and they found him teaching the doctors and teaching those who were learned in the law. They found him right where they left him. Again in Revelation chapter 2, when the church of Ephesus was described as leaving their first love, what was the remedy? Well, verse 5 of Revelation 2 reads, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Repent and do the first works." Remember from when you're fallen. Remember from when you're fallen. Go back to the very place where the difficulty started and turn from it. Repent and do the first works. Do that which you used to do. Remember, repent, and redo. You see, the road to recovery, the way forward is backward. It is retracing your spiritual steps to the place where you left off. That's where the road to recovery starts. So often people think I'll just go and do what I used to do, but they fail to deal with the problem. They fail to deal with perhaps the sin that has hindered them or the loss of devotion. There was a step there in Revelation 2 verse 5. Remember, then repent. Turn from that and then do the first works. Do not just simply assume that you can go back and do what you used to do without dealing first with the problem. Face up to it this morning. Deal with it and then move forward by the power of Jesus Christ. I'm sure at some stage in your life, you've lost something. Maybe in the house it's been a set of keys. Maybe it's been a wallet. Maybe it's been all of those things. I don't know. But whenever you lose something, what's the first question that you ask or rather you're asked? Well, where did you leave them? Where did you leave them? That's always the first question. At least whenever I lose something, set of keys, whatever it is, that's always the first question I'm confronted with. Well, where did you leave them? And spiritually speaking, that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Where did we leave off? Where did we leave off? With Jesus Christ. There is the reason for the loss, the result of the loss, the remedy for the loss. Lastly, I want you to see the recovery to this loss. Verse 6, we read, "And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim." I want you to think about something practical here. For a fish to swim, it's natural. I think we'll all agree with that. For a fish to swim, that is natural. But for an iron axe head, because it's described in verse 6 as iron, for an iron axe head to literally come up from the bottom of the sea or the river, rather, and then float on top of the river, that is a miracle in itself. If you were to see that, you would definitely say that that's a miracle. But for the axe head not only to float on top of the water, but then also to swim, and to probably come back to the person who lost it. I want to suggest to you that happened, or that could have happened. Maybe perhaps it came to the bank. We can't be sure. But at any rate, this iron axe head, it literally swam on the water. For that to happen, it needed a miracle. And Elisha effected that miracle. But the interesting thing is this. How did this miracle happen? Elisha could have just simply spoke, as we saw in our last miracle. He could have came to Naaman and could have spoke the word. He could have been cleansed immediately. No, Elisha, he used the means. He used something to effect this miracle. Now, we read in this verse that he took a stick and he cast it into the water. Now, the word stick here in the Hebrew, it means a sapling or even a tree. Really, probably a branch. So what did he do? He took a branch and he stood over the place where this axe head fell, and he simply threw the branch into the water. And then the axe head was raised up out of the water, and then it swam across the river. He applied a branch to the water and the axe head was recovered miraculously. And there's a wonderful picture here of the work of Christ. Because if this was a branch, and that's probably what it was, a branch, they're felling trees, they're cutting trees. It was probably a branch of some form. If this was a branch, then that speaks to you of Jesus Christ. Because in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1, Jesus Christ is described as the righteous branch. So here we have a picture of Christ, and Elisha, he's simply applying this tree, and through applying this tree, the miracle was then effected and recovery was then experienced. And that shows you this morning that yes, it's good to come and to deal with the problem and to deal with the issue that has hindered you in your Christian life. How do you deal with it though? That's probably the question you were asking. How do you deal with it? And the way you deal with it is this: applying Jesus Christ, applying the branch, applying the righteous branch, applying Jesus Christ and His forgiveness to that situation. If you're a believer, remember this, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1 and the verse number 7. You apply Christ. And whatever the problem is, the difficulty is, whatever the scenario has been, you apply Christ to it. So if it has been the sin of neglecting devotional time with the Lord, you say, "Lord, forgive me." And there is forgiveness through Christ. If the neglect, if there has been a problem, and perhaps you have been guilty of committing the first commandment, or breaking the first commandment, and you have not been worshipping the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your eyes have been on the problem, and not on the orchestrator of the problem, and also the solution to the problem, then again, you apply the work of Christ to that situation. Christ, that's the beautiful thing about Christ. His blood is fresh. It's fresh. Revelation talks about the slaying of the lamb. I can't remember the chapter or the verse, but it talks about as a lamb that have been slain. And the sense of that there is freshly slain. Freshly slain. And so every day, child of God, you can dip into the fresh blood of Jesus Christ, in a sense, because it is freshly slain. Oh, it was slain, yes, at Calvary, but it is applied day and daily to your hearts and to your lives. And so how do you recover? How do you recover from spiritual declension? And how do you recover from perhaps losing the cutting edge? You apply the branch. You apply Jesus Christ to the situation. You know the wonderful thing about this miracle? It's verse 7. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. The axe head was reapplied to that axe. And the young man could continue chopping. That's the way it happens, child of God. You can be reinstated and recommissioned in the service of God and proceed as you have done before, losing the cutting edge. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts and lives this morning.